the time has arrived for the eight extraordinary channels or the eight curious channels too. I think it's coming or it's here. Yeah. Any channel is an expression of divine life force. So we're being lived, we're being breathed, we're being moved. Somehow we're these mechanical beings that exist as a result of the food that we're processing, and very little of that is true. We're brought to life through divine force, and as humans we need ways of thinking in an organized way in order to gain purchase. And I don't mean that in an arrogant sense, but you know, for example, if a patient comes to you and they say, you know, I just can't figure out what I'm here to do.
Welcome to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is where we have motivational, inspiring conversations and interviews that we hope you'll enjoy listening to.
Join us and other inspired actioneers on this alchemical, transformational journey.
Welcome back to the Inspired Action Podcast. This is pod 122, 22, my favorite number. My name is Jay and I'm here with my co-host,
Lita Herman.
There you go. I didn't even have to introduce you. Lita Herman.
Welcome back, Inspired Actioneers. So 22. I think my favorite number is 11.
Yes, I could do 11, 22, or 42.
42.
We could just say 42 and end the podcast right here,
because
that is the answer to everything in the universe and beyond, which is appropriate for today.
Yes.
We've got such a great show today, a podcast today.
Very exciting. I'm so excited. Today we have a very special guest on our podcast, someone who we've been friends with for a long time now and who is doing some great work out there in the Chinese medicine world, Ann Cecil Sturman.
Yes, and I wish I had been there for this podcast interview. Next time for sure. I really want to try to make it for sure.
Yeah, and Ann Cecil Sturman is, you know, a well-known acupuncturist, teacher, and author of several best-selling Chinese medicine texts, such as The Advanced Acupuncture, a Clinical Manual. And her latest book, Becoming Healthy, Staying Healthy.
Which we have.
We've been really digging it. It's super fun. And just so you know a little bit more about Anne, she was a senior clinic supervisor and for many years taught advanced clinical observation at the School of Acupuncture in New York, founded in 1997 by the 88th generation Taoist priest of the Jade Purity sect, the great Master Jeffrey Yuen. Also our teacher. So he was her teacher as well for over 20 years.
That's fantastic. And I actually met Anne when we were traveling with Master Jeffrey Yuen.
Yes.
In Iceland, I think.
Yes.
It was the first time that I met her, but I think you met her before then.
Yes. I actually traveled with her on our first trip to China with Master Yuen in 2010.
That was his first trip back too, right?
Yeah. So we go
after
way back.
Yeah.
We had a blast on that trip, which we talk about in the interview. And I'm excited about this interview because in alchemy and on this podcast, we talk a lot about entering the mystery, or what we call through the mystery gate.
Which coincidentally is the name of one of our books
right,
on alchemy called Through the Mystery Gate, which is available in print or on audiobook. Anywhere you want to read or listen to a book, you can find it, as well as Anne's books. I'm sure you can find them everywhere. So if you're interested and you have some time on your hands, There you go. And you're into this kind of stuff.
And you're into this kind of stuff.
There you go.
There
suggestions.
You go.
Everyone's always asked suggestions. There are some suggestions.
So when we asked Anne to be on this podcast, Jay and I thought it would be interesting for you, the listeners, to take a deeper dive into the mystery. And that's what we're doing today. From the perspective of a lesser known aspect of Chinese medicine called the Eight Extraordinary Vessels.
And I think I've already listened to this now, twice now. I think you two delivered and more. And I just love Anne's perspective on all of this and how she's using the Eight Extraordinary Vessels. And I just loved listening to her thoughts on the bigger picture of life and beyond.
And beyond.
And beyond.
Yay.
But wait, before we continue our intro for this podcast, let's talk a little bit what's going on in the Alchemy Learning Center and what's on the Inspired Action Podcast. Well, we have a new series of stuff coming up. People really was kind of digging the longer series of the Five Elements we just finished, right?
Yeah, we got such great feedback. People who have been long-term listeners loved those Five Elements being done again, and the new
people. And they
people,
were a little longer, too.
And they were longer.
I needed a nap, like, after every one.
All right.
A little nappy nap.
Well, we know wood likes to take a nap after putting out a lot of exertion.
That's right.
So this...
That was just listening to them. That wasn't even recording them.
Right. So the new series is going to be really cool because all of you have been asking so many more questions like, well, what if I'm this kind of wood or if I'm that kind of water, like slow water versus fast water? So what this new series is going to be about is what are the yin and yang types of each element? Many people don't even know that that's an option. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing that in detail. And if you want, you could always take some classes or workshops or different things that we have in the alchemylearningcenter.com. Yes. So that's coming up on the podcast. Yeah. We're all going to have some more interviews coming up.
And I wanted to tell them, just in terms of
them?
This, our listeners.
Our listeners.
Yes.
Yay.
I wanted to tell our listeners that for those of you who need to know more about the eight extraordinary vessels.
After today.
And if you are an acupuncturist, we do have an online class that was a live learning event, and it's now an online class in the Alchemy Learning Center about the Daimai. It's an interesting take on the Daimai. It's a comparison of when you would do a Daimai treatment versus a ghost points treatment. So for you acupuncturists out there, that would be a really interesting topic, perhaps.
That would definitely be worth a Saturday night. Just stay home and watch the Daimai.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. That's great. So that's in alchemylearningcenter.com. And also, I just want to say it's been a little bit of activity going on, people sending us reviews. So if you want to get some Inspired Action swag, hat, t-shirt, mug, your choice, or whatever, you can maybe just get a mystery. We don't know what we're going to send. You could just email us a copy of your review. Yes. And then we'll send, or just tell us that you did it. We don't really care. And if you need to ask your parents, go ahead. You know who you're talking about. Shout out to our friend Sam. Thanks for listening. We want to send you some stuff so you can be
Sam.
Inspired Action Podcast prep there. So thanks everyone. And all right, let's get back to what we're talking about today.
Okay. So our interview with Anne, you know, for those of you who do not know Chinese medicine, we just wanted to give you a little intro. The meridians we're talking about, they're deeper than the day-to-day meridians that most acupuncturists work with, which are called the primary meridians. So when you go to an acupuncturist and they're putting needles in, most of the time they're probably working with your primary channels. And the eight extraordinary vessels are connecting with something more essential, more deeper in us, and what in modern medicine we might even call our DNA.
Or you could even say our destiny, really, because our DNA holds some of that legacy from where we came from, but also holds the key, or the keys, I'm going to say that, key or keys, to our future legacy through our children. Mm-hmm. I think when I was listening, I kind of felt like it was like a blueprint. I know you've said that in the past, like a blueprint for your life, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think that you can hear Lita and Anne talk more in detail than my simple explanation, for sure.
But it's good to start simple for people who don't, know the history of Chinese medicine.
I'm always in charge of simple.
Yes. Right. There you go. So it's just more than genetics. I think it's pretty much about our spiritual destiny more than our physical genetics. And it's so interesting to think about how Chinese medicine in general can be aware of destiny in terms of the road we're walking through life. And that's what the Chinese are calling what you just said, the blueprint, like a set of instructions for our lifetime.
Yeah. And, no judgment here, but I feel that my own personal opinion, that Western medical doctors, they don't really think about destiny in general other than through our genetics, which really seems kind of devoid of the spiritual aspects of the concept of destiny.
Yeah.
And definitely not otherworldly influences. I don't want to give away too much of this interview.
Right.
But strap in. It's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, don't give it away.
It was so much fun to listen to.
Yes. So for today's interview, we're delving into the heart of Chinese medicine and even alchemy to recognize that we all have some kind of curriculum or path through our lives, which we may not know about 100%, but sometimes we just have a sense, like we have a purpose, we have a sense of where we're headed. We have a road, a destiny, and some people believe we have a choice about whether we choose to walk that road or not, and some people believe there is no choice, really, that we can't possibly mess it up. And this is an age-old debate, which you'll hear Anne and I talk about, and it really doesn't have a knowable answer of what's right. And that's why we wanted to bring you this interview, because for alchemical Chinese medicine, we live in that mystery of the unknown with the idea that there's something more to be discovered about ourselves. And that's why we're here, to learn, to discover, and to engage the magic of life.
Wow, that was just really nicely said, Lita. Thank you for that. I should end, but I am going to say a little bit more because that was just great. I
think mic drop.
Right? That magic exists within us, but if we could define a place that exists within, I'm really interested in that. It's in these mysterious or extraordinary vessels, right?
Yeah.
That's what I received from listening to this podcast that you're going to listen to if you're listening to me talk about it. Now you're going to listen to it. And I think with Lita and Anne, I got this deeper appreciation of the eight extraordinary vessels. So whether any part of this comes from Chinese medicine, alien technology, or just part of the magic of what I feel it means to be a human and alive in the world today, whatever that means for you, Lita and I are really not sure. We've talked a lot about this, but this was a fun interview. I'm so glad we did it, or Lita and Anne did it. And I really think a lot of people are going to dig it. And I want more. Yeah. More.
More. We're really excited to bring this conversation to you today. So without further ado, here is the interview.
Thank you. Enjoy.
All right, so I am here with Anne Cecil Sturman, who is this amazing author, acupuncturist, and just generally a wide source of knowledge for all of us. And I'm so excited today to be here with her because I have some questions, and I'm just thrilled that I get to speak with you in person, Anne, to ask those questions on behalf of all the listeners. So thank you for coming. Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to be here, Lita. Thanks for inviting me. And I was just thinking, just saying to Andrew, the last time I saw Lita was at dinner in Reykjavik, Iceland.
That's right. And we did some amazing things back in the day when we were traveling all over the world with Jeffrey Yuen.
Incredible things. Yeah. In Reykjavik, yes. I think the horse riding was the highlight in Reykjavik. That was, the Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was an amazing thing, yeah. And then going back even further, being in China and climbing Mount Huashan, that was an amazing trip as well.
Unforgettable. Remember the ladder? Got halfway up the mountain and all of a sudden you've got the ladder. And I had Miriam in the sling on the front of me, and I'm climbing up this, like,
oh my god,
12-inch wide ladder with a baby between me and the ladder. That was incredible, wasn't it?
You're intrepid doing that with a baby.
Either that or
incredible.
Completely insane.
Yes.
And then we got up the top, and we stayed in the monastery, and it was freezing. Do you remember how freezing that was?
Freezing.
And I was carrying.
I had a cracked window and it was just blowing in.
Extraordinary. I had this little emergency bag in my suitcase with four space blankets. And for people who don't know what space blankets is, they're invented by NASA, and they're sheets of plastic that look like silver. And they use them in car accidents for people who were in shock. And so I just covered the whole family in four space blankets.
Yes. And they worked. I used mine too.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yes. And Huashan is a great topic because it is the transformation mountain. And I think all of us who went there didn't come back the same. It was a pretty transformational experience.
It certainly was. It was quite extraordinary. And that even walking across, there's a point where you're almost at that monastery on the peak, on the west peak, and you have to walk maybe 60 feet along a very, very narrow pathway with, almost 7,000 feet drop on either side. Do you remember that?
And it's terrifying.
Terrifying. And then Ravi, who my son, who was 6 at the time, he really wanted to go over and check it out. I think that, check out the depths, that is. There's something up there, so many spirits up there. It's a very unusual place.
It is a very unusual place. I'll put a couple pictures in the show notes so that people can see what we were up to when we went.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited today to talk about some of those kind of, the nature of the unusual and alchemical, and that is the Alchemy Mountain that we went to. And I thought today we would have a really interesting conversation about some different kinds of change that we usually talk about in Chinese medicine. And I wanted to bring that out into the world and kind of talk with you, because you're really an expert in some of these more esoteric Chinese medicine treatments. And I thought that would be a neat topic today.
That's a great topic. And I think they have to be spoken about a lot more, because, the standpoint that I'm coming from at the moment is that the general public needs to become aware of the channels of energy that enliven them, that bring life into their bodies. And
that's fantastic. I have a saying I keep saying, everyone needs to know this stuff.
For sure. Well, that's what you're doing with your podcast, isn't it? You're really opening this knowledge up. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. If more people chipped away at it, then we could create just a wholesale shift in consciousness on the planet.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I want to introduce the concept of the 8 extraordinary vessels, because today I want to compare that to this idea of alchemy that we talk a lot about on this podcast, where, what if we want more in our life? What if we want to shift? What if we want to change? Some people just want to get back to when they felt good, and they don't want a lot of change. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment. But other people are looking for something more. And there's a way that this concept, 8 extraordinary vessels, which a lot of people don't know about, I think is important. So I want to just ask you generally, just to start, can you explain those a little bit and what they're about and why people might want to know about them?
Sure. Oh, I love talking about the 8 extraordinary vessels, which are also called the 8 curious vessels. Mm-hmm. Curious because they're so mysterious, and they operate in the level of what we call the Jing, which is jargon that means constitutional essence. They operate at the level that is driving our destiny, that's setting, that's able to carry out our mission. Now, the word mission or destiny is, in Western parlance, those two words are very heavy words. They connote something that's external, really, to the human, but they're not at all. So when we incarnate, and so this is Taoist medicine, and one of the founding principles of that medicine is the notion of incarnation and the journey of an individual life being a fraction of the experience of one given spirit. And so the 8 extraordinary vessels, I've been saying for a while now, what I've been thinking for a very long time. And, sometimes when you're holding an idea in your head for a very long time, and you know that it can't be spoken because it sounds a little bit nutty, and then you just wait a few years or maybe 10 years, and then you see the consciousness of the planet shifts. I'm not for a second saying that I'm ahead of the game. That's not what I mean. I just mean that there's a point where the consciousness, the global consciousness, shifts a little bit, and then what you're thinking turns out to be what a lot of other people are thinking anyway. It just needs to be articulated. And so
I just want to say, I love that idea, because when I started doing my practice in alchemy, I was afraid to even say that word. And now it's like commonplace.
Yes.
And it's, how did that happen in 20 years? Like, what happened to our consciousness that now it's this coolest word around? And I've been like, I was scared to say I'm doing something weird in the beginning.
Yeah, but its time came, right? Mm-hmm. The time arrived. Right. And so the time has arrived for the eight extraordinary channels or the eight curious channels too. I think it's coming, or it's here.
Yeah.
Any channel, especially in the eight extraordinary channel category, any channel is an expression of divine life force. So we're being lived, we're being breathed, we're being moved. The Western Cartesian view, I guess, is that we're these mechanical beings that exist as a result of the food that we're processing. And
yes,
right. And
yes,
it's very mechanical. It's very dehumanized, very mechanistic. Very little of that is true. And we're brought to life through divine force. And as humans, we need ways of thinking in an organized way in order to gain purchase. And I don't mean that in an arrogant sense, but, you know, for example, if a patient comes to you and they say, you know, I just can't figure out what I'm here to do. I've had three professions and I've been unhappy in all of them. I don't know what I'm here to do. And then you have a conversation and you find out that every one of those career choices was made according to logic. Mm. Well, you know, I wanted to be so-and-so, but my parents said, well, you've got to be nuts to even consider that. So I went to school to do X, and then I stayed in that for 10 years. I was very unhappy the whole time. So then there was a natural progression. I was offered an opportunity here. I didn't really want to do that, so I went there. And many people live this way. And if they come into the office and you have that conversation with them and they really don't know and they're puzzled, but they know that they need to make a shift, it's the eight extraordinary channels that you go to. But the practitioner is not actually, they're not making the change. They're not performing anything magical. They are simply causing the channel that contains that, the recipe or the blueprint, the plan for one's life. They're simply inviting that channel to come to the fore in the consciousness of the patient so that they can get a clear read through their own heart about where it is they're actually going and get right out of their mind. And these channels, the humanity is imbued with these channels that, here's where I hesitate, because, you know, you thought alchemy sounded kooky 10 years ago. Well, what I'm about to say still sounds a little bit kooky, but
I think the listeners are ready. I really do. They are hungry for, you know, we all want more. And that's the group that listens to this podcast, I think they're there with you.
They can handle it. Oh, that's fantastic to hear. Well, in every ancient culture, there's strong reference to the heavens. There's a strong understanding of astrology. There's a great understanding of the movements of the sun and the moon. They made structures and buildings that reflect the movement of the heavens. And we're still discovering these, you know, Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, just discovered in the last 30 years or so. And it goes on and on. Stonehenge. If you stand in Stonehenge, it's the most extraordinary. Have you done that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you must do it, Lita. You would love it. You stand there and there's so much vibe there. And another thing that's referenced in these ancient cultures are star clusters, for example, Pleiades. And I do think that the eight extraordinary channels are beamed. See, this is where some people are going to turn off now.
That's fine. That's fine.
But I think that they are emanating from somewhere that is not Earth. They're beamed in, and at some point in the history of humanity, or at the beginning of humanity, they beamed in and they converted some life form, a life form on Earth, with the nature of humanity, and that is the difference between human beings and the preceding form that may have looked a little like human beings, that the eight extra channels came into the planet and boom, you have this tremendous, beautiful human spirit that has intelligence and feeling and care for people and a mission, and each person has a purpose and each person has a place, and everybody loves each other, which is the natural course of events. And this happened on Earth courtesy of the eight extra channels arriving here. And so they fall into various categories.
Yeah. You know, there's another little thing that is interesting that we've been working on that kind of relates to that. And maybe this also would be another way to think of what you just said, which is the seven stars, the Big Dipper. In Chinese theory, and this is from Jeffrey Yuan's teachings, is sort of a mediator between heaven and earth, and helping sort of us navigate between heaven and earth. And this idea that the stars felt very foreign to me. And then I learned the seven star form, which is a sword form of Tai Chi, and started practicing it daily. And suddenly it was like some kind of world opened up for me. Mm-hmm. And it's like that it's like an antenna of something really similar to what you're saying. And suddenly there are these points called the starry sky points that everyone in acupuncture knows, Ma Da Yang's starry sky points, which I've been using alchemically for years. But suddenly the power of those points, because it's like trying to download something from the stars that Ma Da Yang, you know, being an immortal, figured out, suddenly that became super powerful. And it's very hard to express what that even means. Like, it's mysterious, kind of like the eight extraordinary. So anyway, I just wanted to say, like, I really think that you're onto something there, because there is, you know, I know that a lot of people accept astrology. They understand it. There's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really believe in that. But this idea that the stars are influencing us even more through our channels or our Jing, like you said, the Jing essences, that's kind of new for me. I'm excited that you expressed that, because I have had that experience personally.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. And I think that the feeling of that experience is the activation of the eight extraordinary channels, each of which has a very different function. But they probably, well, I shouldn't rank them, but to me, the most interesting of them all is the penetrating vessel, the Chong Mai, because that channel, as you well know, that is the channel that contains the blueprint or the individual life plan for that spirit once incarnated into a human body. And so to have the privilege to be able to help a person understand, or without any coaching, it's not like you're teaching the patient how to think or a new way to think or like, you know, wake up and have you thought about this? There's no need for any of that in the practitioner. In fact, anything that the practitioner can think of saying, perhaps you should think of this, is utterly superfluous, but also it's sheer arrogance, really. It may have nothing to do with this person. And the idea is to provide an environment with the needles in, whether you're remote or in presence, in which the person can, under the influence of the activated channel, have realization of an interest that they didn't know that they had. And then they end up steering themselves back on the path.
That's amazing. And it makes me also think about, and one of the ghost points, because sometimes I like the dovetailing of some of the ghost points with what you just said, working with the eight extraordinary vessels. Because, for example, if someone's working on what am I meant to do in this life? I'm lost. I don't know, you know, in this example you're using, REN 24 is called Ghost Market. And it's about all the things that are preventing you from giving your gifts to the world, going to market with your gifts. And there's something, so the reason I really, this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because when we do ghost points, which we've talked a lot about on this podcast, we're trying to clear away some of the trauma, some of those negative messages that were given to us as children that prevented us from walking that path, that destiny path. So we're trying to clear that away. But then there's this eight extraordinary vessel concept where you could actually use points that might activate something for the person once that's cleared away.
Right.
So that is something I'm super interested in, like this idea that, all right, maybe we've cleared away some of that debris from what happened in the past. And now what do we do to settle in to that Chiang Mai vessel to say, hey, this is my blueprint for my lifetime. This is what I came to do. And some of us just, we're not aware of that. And that's perfectly fine. You know, we've had a lot of things interfere with finding it.
Well, not only that, but the lack of awareness of it is inherently a part of the destiny itself.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true. Because when you're born, you're kind of wiped clean of the previous lifetime and your intention of why you were here.
Yes, it's to be discovered. So the first thing that is cultivated in the human being is curiosity. If it were all clearly mapped out, it would be very, very boring, prescriptive. Curiosity wouldn't be present. And that's very, very important. But yes, so the points on Chiang Mai, you know, the way I'm teaching at the moment, I'm moving away from focus on points and moving more into emphasis on the channel itself.
And nice.
My argument is that the channels originated with no notion of points, and that the points were added in a more intellectual manner in order to teach or remind the practitioner of the function of the channel. So instead of trying to transmit the very complex, comprehensive nature of each of these channels, you break it down into points, and each point has a function. And then they were even taught in odes or songs, so you remembered the points on the channel, and each point had a function, and thereby you could amass or build your knowledge of the channel. But I would argue that the channels are inherently without points, and that doesn't mean that we wouldn't use them. Of course, you're going to use the points, but the focus, the mind focus of the practitioner is on the channel, not the points, because the channel.
This is brilliant. I love it.
Well,
it's just a doorway. The point is just an opening along something that is intact. So we focus as acupuncturists and practitioners on the point. Not, yes, I get it. I love it.
Yeah. And I think although the points are important, I'm not saying they're not important. I'm saying they are very important. But if the focus is on the point, then you've broken up the channel in your mind. And what you want is the activation of the continuous nature of the channel prior to entering the body and after exiting the body. So the channels come in exterior to, I'm talking about 8 extra channels in particular now. They come in from over there somewhere. Who knows? Pleiades, the big dipper. I'm not claiming to know. Although I did have an experience. I was teaching in Santa Fe in 2017, and they put me in a very old wooden hotel, which was quite lovely. And I went out to look at the stars in the courtyard, and I was just standing there, like looking up, and I thought, oh, this was such a beautiful, clear night. And then something actually hit me on the head. And I thought, that's really very weird. And I looked around. There's no one around. There are no trees to drop anything in my head, no birds. And then I had an intuition to go to my phone, download the app Sky Guide. I think it's called Sky Guide. And download it and look up Pleiades. And I couldn't even spell Pleiades. I heard the word, and I must have heard it somewhere else, but I just couldn't. And so I typed in the first 3 or 4 letters that I guessed, and then it clicked on Pleiades, and sure enough, the arrow, because you know these apps, yeah, right, they have an arrow on them, and you can move your phone above your head until the arrow is pointing, and the Pleiades was directly above my head. I thought, oh, okay, this is making sense. And then, you know, your intellectual mind says, don't be ridiculous. Yes. But the intuitive, my gut said, you want to know more about channels? Look outside the earth. Stop thinking about terrestrial interests. And so you put that together with the fact, actually, that Huang Di, the Yellow Emperor, the author of the foundational text of acupuncture, the Nei Jing, was an alien. Yes. He was not a human being. No one ever said he was a human being. So you start to piece all these things together, which, of course, our teacher refers to in very oblique fashion. I think he wants us to figure it out for ourselves. And you put all these things together and you realize, oh my gosh, we are operating in a realm that is beyond our own imagination. And so the channels, if you're thinking about points, you've really limited the channel. And unless you're thinking about the channel first and the point second, that's my opinion. So as you're needling the 8 extras, you're imagining that Chiang Mai, that the channel of the blueprint, that's coming from somewhere a long way away, courtesy of the divine, and it's moving through this being, informing the being of their destiny. Which really means what they are to be interested in now. Mm-hmm. And then it exits the human being and goes off into all infinity. And that's what, when we meditate, we're tapping into this feeling of utter limitlessness that we are intimately connected with through these channels.
Wow, I love it. So you would think about, instead of spleen 4, the opening point for the Chang, mm-hmm, you would be thinking more about the Chang as something that is infused in all of you in a very deep, deep level. And
yeah, and so spleen four is a Ming Dynasty addition to the chunk. As you well know, it's not on the trajectory. It's a point, grandparent, grandchild, that where in the Ming Dynasty, it's added because of its name, grandparent, yeah. Grandchild. What are we inheriting, not just from genetics, but what are we inheriting from the spirit realm? What is it that's informing our beings? And then the actual channel originates in the region of the uterus and prostate in a point. The channel doesn't originate at a point. It originates in an amorphous field in the realm of the lower jowl, the lower region of the body, which is the seat of the jing, the constitutional essence. So the message of that is you can make whatever you like of your life. You can steer it in any direction. And if you steer against the feeling in your gut, so that would be kidney 21, the mysterious gate. If you steer your life against your gut feeling, then you're going to have to return your consciousness into this essence and become aware of what your true path is, which no one else can tell you. And so so the image to answer your comment, that the image that I hold is of that amorphous field in that region, and then the channel emerging from that and moving up the kidney channel and through the chest and around the mouth, and it goes through that very point that you were talking about, REN 24, right. As it circles the mouth, right, and then comes up to under the eye.
So wow. So I like this. So it begins where we have unlimited possibilities, but we have this like directive from maybe the summation of our past lives and our ancestors, but also potentially our spirit's choice to incarnate in this time and space. And then we may or may not choose to follow that. And then I'm assuming, would it then be if I failed to my mission, then I return it back to the next lifetime. It comes back to that for the next seed, the seed of the next incarnation idea, maybe?
Well, you can't fail your mission. That's impossible. But what you can do is shrink time. So one of the functions of the practitioner, I think, is to shrink time. So the act of going off the path itself is part of the path.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time. We talk about when we talk about one of the ghost points, I keep bringing that up today, the ghost road is this idea. Am I on a detour, or was the detour the destiny all along? Because some of us are meant to, not walk the normal path. So we may look like we're taking a detour, but that's the destiny as well. Obviously it's been debated for centuries and eons. What is the destiny? Do we have choice? Do we not have choice? But
well, I think we don't have choice in what we end up doing or what we do, what we actually do in the moment. What we have choice in is how we experience it, whether we enjoy it or not, what state of mind we're in, whether we're going through this path of destiny with tremendous resistance or whether we're able to accept it with grace. That's where the choice is. How are you going to conduct your life in your mind? Because the experiences are set. They're set. And you have no idea really where you're going, which is part of the beauty of life. And when people are constantly trying to consult with oracles or like, can you tell me what's in my destiny, please? And they can perform a fantastic function of encouragement. They can say, well, it looks pretty good. It looks as though you're going to be on a very interesting journey. But to spell out things that they might see that are negative in the chart doesn't help a person shift their mind and shift their thinking. I think I digressed there.
Well, it's a little bit like telling someone the punchline at the beginning of the joke. Like, you know, that ruins it. It completely ruins it.
And right.
There's a reason we come into this incarnation without the memory of that stored somewhere in the Akashic records of what's been going on before that, because we want to have the experience and then we want to taste the emotions of life and we want to feel and come to conclusions and get meaning. And
yes,
that's the spice of it all. That's the excitement of living.
Exactly. And surprises. And then when you don't have a preconceived notion of where you're going, you don't see everything through a certain lens that limits the endless possibilities of what can happen. You're less likely to experience a wonderful surprise out of left field if you're full of expectation of something going a certain way.
Yeah. So that's the Chiang Mai. So that's brilliant. How would that then, if we were to expand the conversation a little bit to maybe one or two of the other vessels, because the one that I like to work with a lot for people who've been struggling in life, maybe they didn't have the resources and care they needed when they were first brought into the world. It makes me think of the Ren Mai, which is often translated as the conception vessel and is actually one of the more commonly used in acupuncture, you know, around the world with the way it's taught. So, but it's not really used in the way you're talking about. So I imagine you have a completely different perspective on that one as well.
Well, I think I call it the channel of bonding, because it's the channel where the baby is born, and on its own steam, a newborn baby is able to climb by itself up the front of the mother and attach itself to the breast without any help. And then it becomes exhausted. It can't perform any of that function anymore, but it's born with the capacity to climb and to grip. And that is courtesy of the Ren channel. That is the courtesy of the activation of the Ren channel. So the Ren channel, for those who don't know, that it runs up there, or if they listen to your podcast, they know what it's doing. It comes up the center midline from the perineum all the way up the center midline, and then it wraps around the mouth and it goes to the eye. So in so doing, overlaps with Chiang Mai. And when that is activated at birth, it causes the yearning for that movement. It causes the impetus for that journey up the torso, at which point the baby is said to be Ren to Ren. That's channel of bonding to channel of bonding. So that linear alba that sometimes turns a different color in pregnant and postpartum women, that's along the midline, and that the child's midline is bonding onto that line and then moving up to the breast. And then that's encircling of the mouth, which the channel of bonding also does, creates the desire to latch onto the nipple. So, and then the child and the mother go eye to eye. They look at each other. So the mother loves the child. So the experience of feeding, of gaining nourishment, and being held and being looked at with love all linked together. So the child is being programmed to link love with nourishment. So when that channel, when that doesn't occur, when the attachment doesn't occur, or if the mother is emotionally absent, very anxious, let's say they're very, very anxious, or in the, you know, the other spectrum of the scenario, they didn't want the child. So the look is not of love, but resentment, or the breast is denied entirely, then you have the linking of nourishment, whether it be from a bottle or not, with anxiety. And so the child has been programmed to link nourishment with unstable relationships. So that first encounter serves to set the tone of expectation in relationship. So the REN channel is very important. And if those things were missing, if those important factors were missing at that time, then and the patient comes in and complains about, you know, I just wonder whether you could help me with the anxiety that I feel. And, you know, I've had two long-term relationships and both of them were just so anxiety-ridden, and I just can't seem to form a relationship that's solid and nourishing and mutually caring. You can needle into REN MY, or if you're activating remotely, activate REN MY, and you can shift that programming that occurred 20, 30, 40 years earlier, and create an entirely different vibration and shift that whole setting, that whole emotional relationship related setting in that being. They're just marvelous channels.
I often say that that the REN MY, that we as human beings, we actually have imbued in us a feeling of that's our birthright, that description of what you said, where the, you know, ultimately where the mother's looking at you with love, that we somehow know that's our birthright. And if we didn't get that for all the reasons that you said and many more, then somewhere we may interpret that as, wait, where's my stuff? Like, where's my love? Where's my holding? Where's my resources that are, you know, supposed to be given to me to, so I get that, you know, first leg up in the world. Like I'm being shepherded into being. And so I've worked a lot with this as well, with people who felt like, you know, whatever, they were put up for adoption, they were taken from the mom and given to someone else. And it's very traumatic. Even though they, you know, they don't remember it, but their being somehow.
Oh, it's in there.
Knows it's in there.
Yeah, it's definitely in there.
Well, this is great. So this is great. So if we were to, I'd love to keep going through all of them. There's obviously eight. But I'm thinking about now, how could we bring that out more on a higher level again? Because those were two wonderful examples of kind of diving into the eight extraordinaries. And I love that you said Kidney 21, because I think that Kidney 21 is that mystery gate. And it is representative of the mystery of us. Mm. And I think if we were going to bring it out a little bit to, you know, flying 40,000 feet above here, this idea that we have some level of mystery, you know, maybe coming down from the stars, you know, some kind of alien, you know, influence, or, you know, whatever, maybe it's just our spiritual nature, not being aware of it because we were born and we lost that cognition of what came before. But for whatever reason, it's a mystery.
Yes.
And so if we were going to just talk a little bit more about why we need to know about these eight extras, why do we need to know about our own mystery?
I think the eight extra channels are important for people who feel on a deep level that something is missing or that something is injured. So, for example, in my mind, the yin linking vessel is another one of the eight extraordinary vessels. And so a person who feels that they can't go on anymore holding the grief that they're holding the memory and the repeating images of whatever trauma they had, whether it be in childhood or whether it be relationship trauma or an accident or the loss of somebody, loss of somebody close, and they feel that they are somehow broken beyond repair, then it's not the nature of the human being to be broken beyond repair. It's the nature of the human being to have these experiences and have them inform the consciousness in order for there to be a deepening of understanding of humanity, and that the feeling of the wound is alleviated actually through that channel, the in-linking vessel. The first point on the channel is the guest house. So the notion of the guest house is you have a guest house, people come in, they stay for a while, and then they pack their bags and the cleaners come in and there's no trace of them. And so the message of that channel as it begins is no matter what happened, the memory will always be there, but the feeling of being broken need not persist. That there's a purpose for these experiences, no matter how traumatic, and that the what it actually does at that point causes the mind to cease repeating the image of the trauma, the images related to the trauma, related to the loss, the images of the person who abandoned, the image of the accident in which the child was killed. It enables those images to go into the collective unconscious via the liver, on which it also has a point, and to allow the mind to it's nothing to do with forgetting, but it's to do with being able to be in the present moment instead of stuck in the past. The extreme of that would be shock. Shock would be the end of that spectrum, where the person is in shock. Some people, I find them in shock. They've been in shock for decades. They just can't move past it. So the eight extraordinary vessels say there is never a need for a person to experience being stymied or crippled in any way in the long term, that there's a way through. And this is why these channels are so important for humanity, because the way that our culture, our general culture, thinks about these things is, well, you must have antidepressants. We need antidepressants. We need anti-anxiety meds. We need beta blockers. We need, presenting. The focus is on the repeating image rather than a deeply healthy way through.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting in terms of the yin wei mai is also something that I equate to also doing some of the alchemy work that also purges some of these it's not, again, the loss of the memory of it, but the loss of the effects of the trauma day to day, that PTSD repeating of the past. And I also think, so, you know, for me, I'm, you know, interested in this correlation between this idea of alchemy, which is a little bit more, let's go in and really kind of shake things up and maybe more abruptly. And the eight extraordinary treatments are gentler. They're, you know, maybe a little bit more easeful. And the idea that the Yin Wei Mai is this feeling that I mentioned earlier, that the feeling that I might have failed, that something, you know, has not gone the way I planned. And I think, isn't it the one that also helps us with our age as we go through the cycles of 7 and 8, we call it in Chinese medicine. So the cycles of 7 and 8 means that every 7 years for the female, every 8 years for the male, we go through a big change, but we might fight it because of these negative experiences in particular.
That too, and the massive power of the culture and social media, and this has been going on for much longer than social media, this attachment to youthfulness and the eschewing of the notion of old age, you know, I completely agree with you. The use of these channels enables one to sit in one's actual time and feel that they don't want it to be any other way. So I'm in my what is it called? Someone told me. So I'm in my 60th year. So this year I'm going to be, I'm a wood dragon. So, and this is the year of the dragon, right?
The wood dragon.
The wood dragon.
Right. It's the wood dragon.
Yeah. This is my big year. And I don't know why I'm mentioning that, except to say that it's very exciting.
And it is.
Like, you know, it's great to be 60 and feel, oh, you know, there have been so many really very, very tough times and so many incredible times. And, you know, you wouldn't have it any other way, because without each of those experiences, you cannot have wisdom.
So back to this idea of the mystery and our willingness or not willingness to change, our willingness to maybe accept some of these painful experiences, like we said with the Yin Wei Mai, and coming back to the present and maybe even to all possibilities, the hope that brings. Or sometimes the letting go of all those possibilities, because we can torture ourselves with wanting those possibilities. And sometimes it's also about letting go of those future expectations and wanting to come back to present day.
Yeah. In November, I went and I spent 5 days with Byron Katie, who I'm a very big fan of. And she has this wonderful saying. She says, the secret to life is to only want what is actually happening in the present moment. Yeah. And if you can cultivate that in every moment, you're free. You're absolutely free.
Beautiful.
That is Yin Xiao Mai, really, actually, in words. The Yin Xiao Mai. The heel stance vessel. Yin Xiao Mai, it's a channel that cultivates being in the present moment and not wanting anything else to be different, not wanting anything to be different, and being absolutely solidly present in that moment. And all these profound philosophies are built into the eight extra channels. It's an amazing toolkit.
Well, great. Well, Anne, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. And is there anything you want the listeners to be aware of of anything that they might want to check out or see about you?
Oh, well, we have a lot on offer, as you do, at AnnCecilSturman.com. There's
wonderful.
There's a lot of free material there. We have a monthly subscription also if people want to do live classes. We offer, I think, 16 live classes a month.
Wow.
There's plus access to all the archives. And for the first 6 months of every year, I do an online mentorship. It's very intense. And we go through.
And that's for, I noticed that's not just for acupuncturists. You also offer that
Right. It lasts.
Healers of all types.
Yes. Yes. Last year we put 80 people through and 60 were acupuncturists and 20 were engineers, artists, nurses.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It went on and on. It was just lovely. And we've got a big array of professions in this cohort too this year. Yeah, it's great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, Anne. This has just been so lovely and I think so informative. I hope the listeners are, you know, excited as I am. I'm totally excited about all the things that you said. I feel infused and inspired again about the eight extraordinary vessels. So that's really wonderful. Right. Thank you.
That's our job, isn't it?
It is. Well, this is why we named it the Inspired Action Podcast. Right. Yeah. Right. Wonderful. Well,
thanks so much for having me and all the best to Jay.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. She said
thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank
yes.
you.
All right.
All right.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this interview with Anne Cecil Sturman. It was so interesting and informative that Jay and I are excited to continue the conversation with her in the future.
I really wish I could have been there for all this talk about the eight extraordinary vessels and Chinese medicine and, of course, the alien technology or otherworldly technology. Especially, she touched a tiny bit about the Yellow Emperor.
Yeah, that was cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Piqued my curiosity.
Definitely. And I don't really know about otherworldly influences on our meridians, but it's an interesting concept. And I loved hearing Anne's perspective. It was fascinating. And if you're listening and want to know more, let us know. We'll definitely have her back on the podcast at some point in the future. So tell us what you're interested in and we'll keep going with that conversation.
Yeah, please. Let's have her back. I will be there for sure. I have questions. I need answers. We can make it like an X-Files meets E.T. who phones home and the Yellow Emperor answers.
There you go.
Right? That's the podcast that I want to talk about. Such good stuff.
That's going to be great.
Did you like the X-Files?
I love the X-Files.
Right? I can't even pretend to do the music.
Are you trying to sing the X-Files?
No, I'm not going to even try. But you're going to hear the music right here.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for listening. Open heart, open mind. Have fun. Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to the Inspired Action Podcast, and you've reached the end. Woohoo! Why not celebrate a little bit and click that subscribe button right there? We love having you with us on this journey and we want it to continue.
You can also rate and review this podcast. And if you have already, thank you so much. We read all reviews and your reviews help other people find this podcast as well. You can also be a part of this podcast yourself by submitting a voice recording message and emailing it to us at Lita@inspiredactionpodcast.com or Jay@inspiredactionpodcast.com.
And if you want, you can join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram.
Join us next week for another Inspired Action conversation. And thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And remember to hug the dog.